Chinese banks may become less interested in American computer hardware amid tensions over spying.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Kronos, offering cloud-based workforce management solutions to help organizations of all types and sizes achieve their strategic goals. More at Kronos.com. Kronos, workforce innovation that works.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics. The government of China is reportedly leaning on banks there to replace fancy computer servers made by IBM of the USA and put in homegrown systems. Bloomberg News has that story today, citing unnamed sources familiar with the matter. Some experts say this could be retaliation for U.S. prosecutors indicting five Chinese military officers for alleged hacking, or it could be concern about U.S. computer spying. In Beijing, Ed Lococo covers tech for Bloomberg News.
The Chinese government is pushing domestic banks to remove high-end servers that were made by IBM and to replace them with a local brand. Government agencies, including the People's Bank of China, the Ministry of Finance, are doing a review of whether the use of these servers by China's commercial banks is compromising the nation's financial security.
And your Chinese sources are explaining this how?
What they're telling us is that it is a security-based rationale, that it's not couched necessarily in terms of retaliation. Really, there has been a steady drumbeat and rising level of concern being expressed by government agencies about some U.S. equipment since the revelations by Edward Snowden of the NSA spying program. That has definitely set the ball rolling for some of these concerns, and then the recent actions by the U.S. in terms of indicting these five Chinese military officers for cyber spying, that has kind of ratcheted up another level.
Edmund Lococo is a tech reporter for Bloomberg News. He's speaking to us from Beijing. Mr. Lococo, thank you for this.
It's good to talk to you.
A new report today from the American Enterprise Institute shows that many new mortgages would be at risk of default if we experience another economic meltdown. But as Marketplace's Jeff Tyler reports, the threat to the mortgage industry is a matter of perspective.
Under the worst-case scenario, how well would new mortgages hold up? That was the question posed by Edward Pinto at the American Enterprise Institute.
We decided that we needed to perform a stress test on mortgages as they're originated, much like you would look at a car crash test.
His crash test considers things like the rising level of homeowner debt compared to income. Such risks increase the chances that a home will fall into foreclosure. But then again, when considered historically, housing consultant Thomas Lawler says new mortgages are
substantially lower in terms of overall risk than any time in, I'd say at least 20-plus years.
While he does agree that skyrocketing home prices in areas like California may fall back to earth, Lawler says the risk of another all-out crisis is much lower because fewer mortgages are backed with borrowed money. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Let's quickly do the numbers. The 100-share index in London is up more than 0.5% at the moment. The DAX in Germany is up 0.3%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong fell less than 0.1%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all up as we come out of the long holiday weekend.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, serving more than 78 million customers worldwide and providing retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com. By Iowa, offering a business climate complete with educated workers committed to innovation and professionals in advanced manufacturing, biosciences, and financial services, IowaEconomicDevelopment.com. And by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, working to ensure all students graduate high school prepared to succeed in college and careers.
Now to the ongoing problem of addiction in America, whether it's to prescription painkillers or non-prescription heroin. The word epidemic is often used. What has gotten less attention is the mounting backlog when addicts seek treatment. WHYY's Tracy Samuelson reports on why so many people now have to wait weeks, if not months, to get help.
Cheryl Santiago's son, Eric, became addicted to pills he'd been prescribed for anxiety and depression. But when he finally decided to quit, he learned that asking for help and getting it can be two very different things.
As soon as he contacted them, he thought he could go that night. He was ready to go. And then he just got more and more discouraged.
Eric was uninsured, and the Santiagos couldn't afford a private facility, where a month of treatment can cost as much as $30,000. But even once Eric got insurance, he still faced wait lists. When he finally got into a detox program, it required that he be an active drug user to get treatment, to actually fail a drug test. He'd been clean for about a month by then.
He told me, he goes, Mom, don't be upset with me. Don't be mad at me if I have to use something because I have to test dirty in order to go into their program. And he did.
Eric had recently turned 31. He lay down for a nap and never woke up. The U.S. spent $24 billion on substance abuse treatment in 2009, the most recent data available from the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. Even still, nearly 90% of people who need treatment and don't get it say it's due to waiting lists or insufficient services. Those who do get treatment wait an average of 3 months.
The populations that are more impacted are poor people and middle-class people.
Roseanne Scotti is the director of the Drug Policy Alliance in New Jersey. She says the good news is that the Affordable Care Act will eventually add coverage for millions of people with mental health and substance abuse issues. The bad news?
In some states, like New Jersey, there just isn't the infrastructure at this point. There's going to have to be new facilities, new providers, new licensed addictions counselors, and that's going to take a while to ramp up.
The problem with waitlists, Scotty says, is that if a person doesn't get help right away, they might not ask again. In New Jersey, I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
Now, if there are stories and interviews that we do that caught your attention, like that last one, but you only have a couple minutes, we wanted to let you know about downloading our new Marketplace app that makes it easy for you to build custom playlists of our stories and carry them around. Find the link at marketplace.org, or you can search for Marketplace APM in whatever app store you use. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Ever wonder how art is valued?
And you spend 5 minutes looking at the artwork, and you spend 25 minutes being told the backstory to the artwork.
I'm David Gura, the business behind art, next time on Marketplace from APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.